Deuteronomy 33. And if you forgot yours, or maybe I need to start saying, like, fire up your device, because I know a lot of people have their Bibles on devices these days. So wherever you go to read the Word of God, go to Deuteronomy 33. And there's Bibles in the chairs around you if you would like to use one of those, and it would be found on page 205. Before I read this, I just want to mention, you might be wondering, well, where's the series we just started like 2 weeks ago? Well, obviously in light of last week's announcement, things have changed. And so if you weren't here, I have three Sundays remaining here before the interim pastor, Warren Huffman, arrives. And so as I began to wonder about my final three Sundays and what I wanted to say, it just led me in a different direction. And so I still want to say, though, I want to encourage you to get those books, get the material by Pete Scazzaro, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, The Emotionally Healthy Church. The material in those books overlaps a bit. Their work would be fantastic. It's not a quick read because you got to process a lot as you read, but it would be such a valuable read. The Emotionally Healthy Church, The Emotionally Healthy Leader by Pete Scazzaro. And he also has, if you listen to podcasts, he has a podcast that comes out every Tuesday, and it's, you could just go on iTunes or wherever you go for your podcasts and Google Pete Scazzaro or Emotionally Healthy Leadership, and you can just subscribe for free to that podcast. And he unpacks a lot about what he writes in his books, and it's valuable, valuable material, I believe. You won't regret it. And so I would encourage you to continue to lean into that. And so today, bringing it back here to today, and where we're going to be going, we're going to be looking at Moses' final words in Deuteronomy 33. Next week, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, as Joshua then takes over leadership and begins to lead Israel into the promised land. And then my final Sunday with you, we're going to hang out in Psalm 118, focusing on verse 5. And that's where we're going to be over these next three Sundays. And I've entitled today, In His Hands, and we're going to look at the beginning part of the passage and the end part of the passage. And so listen or follow along as I read this morning. Deuteronomy 33. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone down from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction, the law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. He was king over Jeshurun. When the leaders of the people assembled along with the tribes of Israel." Now going to verse 26. "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides across the heavens to help you, on the clouds of his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, 'Destroy them.' So Israel will live in safety. Jacob will dwell secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper, and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the gift of your word. because your word, first and foremost, reveals your heart to us. And so as we unpack this passage today, Lord, reveal yourself to us afresh. Open our hearts that we may see, not just with our eyes, but internally through the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that we would be encouraged by what we see in your word this morning. And I ask now that you would just bless me as I seek to be a conduit of your word this morning, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at where we are as a church, and as we look at where Israel was in this passage, we see that Israel was in a time of transition. Because this is the end of what is called the Pentateuch. That's just a fancy way of referring to the first five books of the Old Testament, of which this is the fifth and final one. And so here is Moses dying. Israel has yet to enter into the promised land. And Joshua, back in chapter 31, has already been announced as Moses' successor. So to say that this was a time of transition for Israel would be an understatement. But what we find when we look at Moses and what he's saying here in this moment is that he's looking beyond, he's pointing beyond a couple of things. He's pointing beyond his own looming death. And he's also pointing beyond, in some senses, his own failures. For example, when he struck the rock, when God told him to speak to the rock, Moses is pointing beyond all of these things and everything that goes along with them. Moses is ultimately pointing the Israelites toward what is yet to come. And as we will see in this passage, he's pointing the Israelites toward the security and the faithfulness that is theirs through their relationship with Yahweh. And it's also a time of transition for us here at Millersville Brethren in Christ Church. In some ways, there are some similarities between our transition and their transition. We stand having yet to enter into Yahweh's vision of flourishing that he has given us, our own promised land, so to speak. I'm not dying, thankfully. But yet, relational transitions can be like a death, can they not? And as Joshua was announced as Moses' successor, we know that Warren Huffman, a man of God, will be coming in for a six-month interim period at the end of this month. So like Moses, as he's pointing the Israelites forward, I want to spend my final three Sundays with you, Lord willing, pointing you forward, pointing you toward what is yet to come, toward the security and the faithfulness that is yours, ours, through Yahweh and our relationship with him. Because let us never forget that he holds Millersville Brethren in Christ Church in his hands. And so the first thing that we see Moses doing here, his final act in this moment, is speaking words of blessing over the tribes of Israel. And look at verse 1 again. He says, "This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death." And I love what we see happening with Moses here. Moses, in this moment, is not concerned about his own legacy. He's not concerned about that. Instead, he's choosing to speak words of blessing over each of the tribes of Israel. And he makes no provision for a memorial to be erected in his honor or his memory. And that's contrary to a lot of the other leaders of other nations. I mean, we could think, in my mind, I think of immediately of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, who even before he was dying, he had a 30-foot statue of his likeness made and had everybody bow down and worship it whenever music was played, right? And so, but we find Moses doing nothing like that here. No statues are erected in his honor as he's about to die. He doesn't even put a pile of rocks together as like a memorial acknowledging his life and ministry and his legacy. And there's none of that here. Instead, he's pointing the Israelites to Yahweh. He's focused on pointing them to the Lord because it's the Lord who rescues and redeems. That word blessing is the Hebrew word barakah. And it means pronouncements of goodwill or invocations of divine favor. And when we look at what Moses is doing here, this is what he's speaking in this moment. He's not saying, hey, do you remember when I did this? Do you remember when we were in that moment and I fell on my face before the Lord for you? Moses isn't doing any of that. He's pointing them to the blessings that are theirs through their relationship with God. I think there's a lesson in there for us. And for me, that's what I hope to be doing over these last few weeks. I used this analogy with the board at a board meeting not that long ago. It's as if envision all of us in a car together. And I'm in the back seat with all of you. And it's the bishop and the board who are in the driver's seat with their hands on the wheel. And my role, as I see it, is to point out toward that windshield and to be a cheerleader, an encourager, to point forward like Moses is pointing Israel forward here and say, this is where you're going. And who's guiding this car? The bishop and the board have their hands on the wheel, but ultimately, it's the Lord who's guiding the car. This is where you're going. This is what's next. There's an interim coming in. And so there's going to be a 6-month period of rest and Sabbath for the church. And all the while, we're going to be in God's hands. I want to focus on these blessings for a moment. Because when we look at what Moses says at the beginning and the end here, these blessings are rooted in the Lord himself. So we will not take time to examine the specific blessings that are spoken to the tribes in verses 6 through 25, because I think we need to be careful not to take words that are given specifically to those tribes in those moments and apply them to us, because I don't think it would necessarily fit. I don't think that would be a healthy process for us. But these blessings still have much for us to glean, particularly Moses' words at the beginning and the end, which we'll focus on. Because these blessings point us, as I said, toward Yahweh. These blessings reveal who he is. And so this will be our focus for the rest of our time this morning. And the first thing that we see in verse 2 is that it's the Lord who rescues his people. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them, from Seir, and shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Now, Moses is describing the Lord as a divine warrior here who fights on behalf of his people. He's the one who is coming and rescuing them with his army. And he's rescuing them from their enemies that hold them in bondage. And we could think back to Egypt. God certainly used Moses as a mouthpiece, but it wasn't Moses who led the Israelites out of Egypt. It was the Lord who led the Israelites out of Egypt. Let's not miss that. Moses was God's prophet, but Moses didn't do it. God did. Moses didn't part the waters. The Lord did. Moses didn't make sure they had dry ground to walk on. The Lord did. It's the Lord who rescues his people. There's that threefold reference to Sinai, Seir, and Mount Mount Paran, that was the mountainous region in the south where they had experienced the Lord's glory nearly 40 years prior to this moment. And that glory is referenced in those verbs, came, dawned, and shone forth. That points us to God's presence among his people, because where his glory appears among the people, the cloud on the mountain, for example, that is God's presence among the people. That cloud that fills the tabernacle when they construct the tabernacle, that is God's presence among the people. And as God is with his people, he will rescue his people. As we said, he's the one who rescued them from Egypt. He's the one who went before them as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day to guide them. He's the one who provided manna when they were hungry, and he's the one that provided water from the rock when they were thirsty. And it's this same Lord who will continue to fight for and rescue his people as they prepare to enter into this new phase, into this new chapter of existence. God is going before them. And Moses is pointing that out. And I want to point out that same truth for us here at Millersville Brethren in Christ Church, because the same Lord who faithfully saw to this church being planted in 1988 is the same Lord who is going before you even now. It's the same Lord who gave Millersville Brethren in Christ the vision for flourishing. And he's the same Lord who will see that vision come to fruition in his timing. Same Lord. The Lord who rescues. The second thing from Moses' words here, the Lord enjoys a special relationship with his people. The first part of verse 3, surely it is you who love the people, is referring to God and his love for us, his people. All the holy ones are in your hand. What a verse. What a verse. The Lord loves his people. God has set his affections on his people. He saves and redeems because he loves. John 3:16 reminds us of that truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What is the causation? It's God's love. God's love and affection for those he created. And he desires to be in relationship, a special relationship with his people. Interestingly enough, in the previous chapter, chapter 32, verse 10, we see that Israel is referred to as the apple of God's eye. This is a picture of God's loving grace for his children, for his people. And I would suggest that it's the same for you and for this church family. God loves you, and he desires to be in a special relationship with you. You too are the apple of his eye. Regardless of what you have done, he has made a way through Jesus Christ for you to have a special relationship with him, and he wants to adopt you as his own sons, his own daughters, his own children. And not only does the Lord love his people, but this verse reminds us that he holds them firm and secure in his hands. Millersville Brethren in Christ Church is in his hands. And friends, can you think of any place safer? Any place more comforting than to know that you are in his hands? How quickly we may seem to forget that in our day-to-day living. But as we go about even the day-to-day living, we are in his hands. You and I, we are being held fast by God through his love for each of us. And I love how Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. He says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he loves us and he holds us in his hands. So whatever the future holds, together you can face that future because you know that you are loved by God and you know that He faithfully holds you firm and secure in His hands. And so as we look about making this transition where Warren will be coming in and we'll be entering into a six-month period with an interim pastor, know this, that that's not surprising to God. God is already going before Millersville Brethren in Christ Church. He's already at work in those next 6 months ahead of us. The same God who holds Israel in His hands is the same God who holds Millersville Brethren in Christ Church in that next six-month period in His hands. And He loves you. He loves us. What a beautiful picture in these verses of the sovereignty of God. He is indeed in the details. He is indeed in control. And the third thing from this passage, the Lord reveals His will to His people. The second part of verse 3 and verse 4. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction, the law that Moses gave, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. In light of God's rescuing love for His people, in light of His sovereignty, His people, that's you and I, have a privileged status, that special relationship. And as part of that special relationship that we have with Yahweh, one of the things that comes about as a result of that is that God reveals His will to His people. God shows us what He wants. He lays out for us details. He lays out for us next steps. He lays out for us direction. He doesn't just leave us wandering as if we would be in the middle of a desert without a compass. God's not in that business. God guides. And one of the ways He does that is primarily through the giving of His word. Now, it's true that God often does not reveal the entire picture at one time. I often think of that question that people usually get asked in interviews. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? The older I get, the more I dislike that question. I kind of get the underlying principle behind it. But the reality is, we have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. And so whatever I answer, however we would answer that question, it would really just be a wish or a dream. We can tend to think that from point A to point B is going to be a nice straight line. But if we're honest, that straight line looks more like this. Because we don't know. But God in His faithfulness gives us enough light for the next step. And often, we need to be at peace with that and be grateful for God showing us that next step. I think of Abraham, before he was Abraham, he was Abram. And when God called him in Genesis 12, God says, I want you to leave your family and leave your town and leave your nation and leave all the people and leave everything that you know. And I want you to go to the land that I will show you. In that calling in chapter 12 for Abram, God gives him just enough light for the next step. He doesn't even tell him where that place is going to be. But Abram obeys. See, God guides, but it's often one little step at a time. And one of the primary ways He does that is through His revealed word. It's one of the reasons we need to be regularly in His word, because it's not just about learning the word and gaining a head knowledge. It's when we open up the word and spend time in the word, we are encountering the one who gave us that word in those moments. He is speaking to us through these words on a page. These words are alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and they are meant to guide us. as the psalmist declares, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. And so I don't mean this in any kind of demeaning way, but if we find ourselves in a moment where we think we're not hearing from God, a question we could ask ourselves is, how often have I been in the word recently? Because Deuteronomy 33 tells us that it's God reveals his will to his people. And it's through, and the reference there is through the law. That's a reference to the written word, the commands that he had given his people. And for us, we are in a different age in the sense where we have all the Old Testament and the prophets and the wisdom literature like Psalms, and we have the Gospels and the New Testament letters. We have all of that from which to hear the voice of God. That's a gift. Moses is telling us that's a blessing. That's a gift. To have that. So when we open this book, if we have ears to hear, God speaks. God speaks. It's all part of that special relationship in love that we have with him. For Millersville Brethren in Christ Church, this picture involves, as we've already said, 6 months of rest under an interim pastor. And this is a season in which the Lord will continue to guide. He will continue to guide. He will continue to heal. He will continue to reveal. He will continue to strengthen in light of whatever that next step is that he's going to lead Millersville Brethren in Christ toward. And as I said, this is all part of that bigger picture of that special relationship with us and him, rooted in his love for us. And fourth, and lastly, Moses reminds the Israelites and us that the Lord is king over his people. Look at verse 5. He was king over Yeshurun when the leaders of the people assembled, along with the tribes of Israel. Yeshurun is referenced a few times, and that word just simply is referencing Israel. It's another name that's referencing Israel, and that name means the upright one. And that is further demonstrating God's special relationship with his people, his great love for them. Because think about it, here at the end of Deuteronomy, and Moses is speaking these words of blessing over the Israelite tribes, and he's referring to God being king over Yeshurun. That's king over Israel. Wait a minute, the same Israel that rebelled? They complained they wanted meat. They got tired of the manna. They complained they were painting pictures of Egypt in the sense that, well, it's better back in Egypt than it is out here in the wilderness. And so all of that rebellion, after all of that, here at the end, God still refers to them as Yeshurun, the upright ones. Friends, that's a reminder of his grace. He is king, but he's a king who rules by grace and love. And that's the same for us. This verse is a powerful picture for us. Again, Moses, in the face of his own death, he's publicly declaring that although he is departing, Israel remains the apple of God's eye, the receiver of the Lord's affections. And as they prepare to cross into the promised land, it's the Lord who's going to continue to lead them. So for us, regardless of who is leading, know this, it's the Lord who is king. So we respect all the leaders, but we worship and follow our king. Paul, this makes me think of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1. Now, the church in Corinth, like if anybody ever says, man, I wish we were like the early church. I was like, really? Have you read 1 Corinthians? Like, that church was a mess. Divisions everywhere. Trouble everywhere. And right away in chapter 1, I'll just read verses 11, 12, and 13, Paul writes this, "My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says I follow Paul, another says I follow Apollos, another I follow Cephas, who is Peter, still another I follow Christ." And then in verse 13, he asks the questions, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" In other words, what Paul is saying here, what his point is that there's no other human who was crucified for you. No other human at this point in history. There's a resurrection to come, but no other human has been resurrected at this point, only Jesus. So why are you dividing in this way, saying, "I follow this leader, and I follow this leader, and I follow this leader"? No, we all are to follow Jesus Christ, and all leaders are under-shepherds who have a sole task of pointing us to the key shepherd, Jesus Christ. I don't think Millersville's going to have to deal with this. You're a good lot. But Christian celebrity culture in general, showing favoritism among leaders in the church, can be a very dangerous thing. And I just felt led to share that this morning. Now let's turn to the end of chapter 33, verses 26 through 29. I'm going to read these verses again. I'm going to read these verses again and just make a couple brief comments on them. We're not going to go through them all. But these are actually Moses' last words. And in many ways, it ties in with what he says at the beginning in emphasizing the Lord and what he has done for his people Israel and ultimately for the sake of the world. But let's listen to these words again from verse 26. "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, 'Destroy them.' So Israel will live in safety. Jacob will dwell secure in the land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and will tread, and you will tread on their heights." Now, a couple things. If you look at verses 26 through 27, it says that God is the one who rides across the heavens to help you on the clouds of his majesty. Where does that take place? Where are the heavens? Where are the clouds? It's not a trick question. In the sky. And the sky is up above us, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you might be wondering, why the heavens is plural. In Judaism, there were three heavens. The first heaven, and this one's for free, right? The first heaven is the air that we breathe. You know, we look out, we see the clouds and the birds flying, you know, all of that. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is what we would call outer space, where all the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, all that kind of stuff are. And then the third heaven is, that's where God dwells with all the heavenly hosts. Yes, it would. Yep. So that's why often in the Old Testament it refers to heavens. Like that's what it's referencing. But anyway, the point I'm making here is that it's above. God is above. He's riding on the clouds, right? Verse 27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms." He's the God above us. He's holding us firmly secure with his everlasting arms below us. And what's it say next? "He will drive out your enemies," where? "Before you, saying, 'Destroy them.'" Yahweh is the God who is above us. He's the God who holds us firm and secure with his everlasting arms below us. And he's the God who goes before us. This is a glorious picture of the security that belongs to the people of God who are in special relationship with God through that relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. And so here's what I want to do to close our time out today. I want to use Moses' closing words as a benediction today. And so I'd invite you to stand. And I'm going to read this, but I'm going to personalize it for Millersville. I'm going to personalize it for Millersville. And as I do this, I just want you, my hope and prayer is that as you go from this place today, you will go knowing that you are secure in Him. Because that's what Moses is emphasizing here. And so, receive this as a benediction. There is no one like the God of Millersville who rides across the heavens to help Millersville. And on the clouds in His majesty. The eternal God is Millersville's refuge. And underneath Millersville are His everlasting arms. He will drive out Millersville's enemies before them, saying, "Destroy them." So Millersville will live in safety. Millersville will dwell secure in a land of grain and new wine where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, Millersville. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. He is Millersville's shield and helper, and Millersville's glorious sword. Millersville's enemies will cower before them, and Millersville will tread on their heights. Go firm and secure in His strong hands. Amen. Thanks, Millersville. Love you guys.